Okay, we continue the Rambam Hilchas Nachlos, Perek Hey, Halacha Vov, Chapter 5, Law 6. We'll now deal, till the end of the chapter, with a case of two people dying very close to each other, to the point we don't know who died first, and all the applications that come out of that. Oh, do you want this? Here. Okay, Misha Nafal Habayis Olov Val Ishtoi. A house falls on a man and his wife.
That's not good.
At the same time.
That's not good.
Ve'en Yadua Imha Isha Mesa Trila. We don't know if the woman dies first. And if the woman dies first, that means the husband is automatically the inheritor. Even though he dies a few seconds later. But the point is, once she dies, he becomes the first inheritor.
For the few seconds.
And now that he dies right afterwards, who ends up inheriting? V'nimtzu yorshei habal yorshin kol nechaseho. And it comes out the inheritors of the husband inherit everything that she owned that went to the husband and then to them. Or, o habal meistril, or the husband died first. Once he dies, he's out of the picture. V'nimtzu yorshei isha. Now those who inherit the woman, Yorshin Kol Nechoseho, they inherit all of her possessions. And they were hers, so now they get them. So remember, we've had this before already, but now we're going to come back again. There's three different types of possessions. And again, the rule will be we go with the Chazaka. Now, before we had it in a different scenario, but it's going to be the same general rule. So let's start. Number one, we have the Nichsei Malog. The Nichsei Malog means the wife has the principal. It's always considered in her domain. The husband's entitled to use the fruits and benefit from the fruits, but that's it. But she always has been the Muchsak in the Nichsei Malog. And therefore, Mamidim Nichsei Malog, we retain the Nichsei Malog, Becheskes Yorsha Isha, with the Chazaka, from those who inherit from the woman, because, in other words, we really don't know who died first. So let's go with whatever chazakas we have, and it belonged to her. So we'll assume it goes to her relatives, because they've got the inside track. Vaksuva. However, the ksuva, the debt to pay in case the wife, the husband, dies first, ikar. The main ksuva, the 200 zuz for a basul, or 100 for a one who's not a basul, vatosef is in the additional amount that the man added onto the ksuva, that's becheskes yorshei habal. That goes to the chazaka of those who inherit from the husband, because while the husband's alive, she's not entitled to anything. And until anything happened, it was the husband's property. Mm. Now, if he would die first, but we don't know. So we go with what the chazaka is. Mm. Now, the nichsei tzon barzel, which is coming up, which really belongs to the husband outright, but if he ever will get it, he'd have to pay for them outright afterwards. And if they're worth more, worth less, whatever. But only upon her death does he become the get to keep it forever. Like he keeps it, but then there'd have to be a payment. So therefore, cholkim v'nichsei tzon barzel, and divide up the nichsei tzon barzel. So that's case number. So Yorsha Isha Notzrim Chetzyam. So the inheritors of the wife, they get their half. Yorsha Bach Chetzyam, the inheritors of the husband get their half. Okay, so that was case number one. That's a husband and wife. Now we go to case number two. Avolim Nofal Habais Olov Va'al Imo. But if the house falls on a boy and his mother. Now, we have to clarify the case. The mother here is a widow or a divorcee. So there's no husband in the picture now. Okay? There's no husband with the inside track. Because in the shiloh be no shiloh, the husband would inherit from the wife. When she dies, there's nothing really to talk about. Again, the question is the woman's assets. So if she was married, there'd be no shiloh who died first, because the husband would get the assets. Okay? So, so there's no husband over there. And we're going to say that their woman has relatives from her other side. And the son had relatives not from the mother, but from the father who had children from another woman. In other words, we're setting up the scenario where the mother's inheriting relatives have no shaychus with the son. And the son's inheriting relatives have no shaychus with the mother, because if there is, then there's no shaylah. Okay, so you got a mother with exclusive inheritors only coming through her, and a son with exclusive inheritors only coming through him, and not through combination of the mother and the son. So that's the scenario. And now we'll see what everybody claims. Okay, so where did I go here? Well, Novla Baisal Valimo. So interestingly, very interesting halacha. Mamidim nichsoyem becheskes yorshem. We keep the assets of the mother with the inheritors of the mother. Why? Now the next line has read very carefully. Now let's try to understand something. If the mother dies, regular case, who inherits from the mother?
The husband.
Well, the husband can't got no
husband.
Son,
the son.
Or the inheritors who are the inheritors.
The father
of
the woman.
Yes, okay. And that is for sure an inheritor, right?
Mm-hmm.
For inheritor. Now, the son would be a for sure inheritor, but we don't know if he died first.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a questionable inheritor.
Suffolk.
Okay, got that clear?
Yeah.
And therefore, the son's relatives are Suffolk inheritors.
Right.
Right? Now, it's an interesting thing that he's saying. I mean, you could hear an argument against that, because, in other words, now that she is dead, they for sure are inheritors of her. Let's just read it, and then I'll comment on it.
Okay.
So Rama says, Shehem Yorshim Vadoim. They're certain inheritors. So the commentary says, we don't translate the word certain inheritors like we normally do. And here the understanding is, normally it means they for sure are getting that inheritance are a suffix. Here, the intention is that it was already muhsak. It was ready. There was a chazaka. It was in that family because it was her. And this is from their tribe, etc., etc. And now when there's a doubt, we just keep it in the family. In other words, she owned it, and whatever tribe she was part of was in that tribe. And now you want to take it out of the tribe. So there's a chazaka regarding that tribe's nachala. While for the son, who probably came from another tribe, because there's a father... his father was from another tribe, so I'm going to want to pull it out of the tribe. This is assuming it was an intermarriage between different tribes. But they're saying it's a chazaka there. You're going to see this is going to be a very problematic Rambam from the next halacha. You will see. But hey, that's what he says. Avol Yorsha ben Sofek him. The Yorsha ben are a doubt. She may saben chilikas. The son died first. Then the relatives of the son.
Nothing.
From the brothers of the other father, can't get anything, as we have explained. Now, the problem with this, I mean, it's and if the mother died first,
yeah. So then he has it.
So that's what Rama says. Well, it's still there was a chazok in this place, but it's a hard one to understand, and you'll see why. Because when we learn the next couple halachas, you're going to see Rama contradicts himself. So that's going to make it hard to understand. So that this is a bit of a iffy halacha. He seems to be saying it's a chazaka within the family, but it's you know, you want to take it out. In other words, when you have a, but really that is in all, well, in other cases of inheritance, you know, if nobody has a legitimate straight on claim, well, the truth of the matter is no one has a legitimate straight on claim here, because if she for sure died first, the son would get it first, without a question. So that's why it's a little bit of a difficult halacha. And you'll see.
Have we established that intertribal is a factor when we're doing all these
things? Well, that's what it seems in the commentary.
Before that, is this a general thing that it just sort of popped
well,
up?
It's the first time he's bringing it up. Yeah. All right, let's continue, and you'll see what's happening here.
Anyways.
Let's continue. The next halacha is going to seem to contradict this halacha. Really, the next halacha. This halacha doesn't seem to make sense to me, and the next one seems to make sense, and now it's a contradiction.
Okay.
So let's see the next case. Naval abayis alav, the house falls on a man, the al ben bito, and his grandson through his daughter. Okay?
Oh, boy.
And the grandfather, a grandfather and a grandson.
Yeah, it's a Zeta.
Through the daughter. Now let's add, the grandfather has no sons. There's no sons.
There's a daughter, though.
So
sure.
The question is like this. And it could be the grandson has sons. Grandson has sons. The granddaughter has other family members.
Not the granddaughter.
The daughter has other family members. So the question is, who's going to get it first again? If, as we'll explain, ima av meischila, if the father died first, then ben bito yirushenu. Oh, the grandson would inherit him, but then he died right afterwards. Venimtza hanachasim shoshaben. So whatever inheritors that the grandson had, they would get first. On the other hand, vim ben bito meischila, if the grandson died first, eina ben yirushes ima. Oh, now here's the problem: the mother died. The
already.
Mother had died previously.
Yes, that's what I was wondering.
So now you're thinking,
she
well,
would normally get it from the
well,
father.
Well, if the father, if he died first, you say, well, wait, it doesn't matter. The father, grandfather died. Now it goes through the mother, yeah. And now the son inherits through the mother. Right. But the problem is, he had a rule: Einah ben yarshim abakaver. The son does not inherit the mother from the grave. We already said, when the son is already dead, he can't inherit from the mother afterwards. Right. We already learned earlier back in the first chapter. So the son will not inherit. So whoever is an inheritor of the father, let's say his brothers or the grandfather's father, which would probably go to the grandfather's brothers, they would get first. Now over here, look what we say. Lefikach yachluku yorshav im yorshay ben abbas. They divide it up equally. And the Rashba brings down that now we have a contradiction. Because before, the Rambam says, when it falls on him and his mother, it goes to those who are the descendants of the mother, because there's a chazak l'shevet. So why does it say yachloko? You should say the same thing. Assume it's the chazak l'shevet of the father, because the daughter could have married out, so it should have, you should apply the same chazaka rule, and Rambam doesn't. Truthfully, I think this halacha makes a lot of sense to say yachloko. It's the other halacha that's the problem. Be that as it may, it's a contradiction of the Rambam. Okay, finally, one other scenario.
So could we just go back? We're saying that the contradiction is just because here he divides it up and there he didn't, because he said that was Vadai.
Right.
And here, why should
it be
divided?
The same Vadai? Because there's a chazok of inheritors through the father to keep it in the Shevet.
Right.
The son is not going to keep it in the Shevet because it's the son through the mother.
Right.
And she's probably going to go to another shaver or whatever, or doesn't retain it. I don't know. But that's what they ask. So it has lots of commentary, which I'm not going to get into right now.
Because he follows the shavit of his father.
Yeah, which is a different man.
Yeah.
Which is a different man, so it's going to go out of the shavit.
Right. So the father died, the mother died, and now there's just the son left and the Zeta. The Zeta and now the son die.
So now you got descendants of the son,
right.
Grandson, which could be from another Shevet.
Exactly.
And the father's from the original Shevet.
Right.
So why the Ram's not consistent.
Half and half.
Okay, now, continuing. Now, it doesn't have to be just houses falling on you.
Oh,
how about this scenario? Let's say the father, or any of the cases we've had here, father is in captivity.
Oh, boy.
Umes, and he dies in captivity. This is before, you know, the cell phones and quick instant messaging where you know the exact second when people die.
Oh, boy.
Umeis ben Bitoba Medina, and the grandson through the mother died in the city. Okay? And we don't know who died first, or the reverse. Oshinishba ben, or the son was captive, Umeis avi imobina, or the father of his mother dies in the city. In other words, they die in two different places. And a few weeks later, said, "Oh, you know, your grandfather died. Oh, what? I'm not sure exactly, but we know he's dead." And same with the son.
Same ruling as
and
before.
We don't know. Same thing. Yachluku yorshav im yorshei ben abbas. They split it up equally. It's the same halacha. Okay. Next idea. Nafal alav habayis. The house falls on him. One second. Novel of Habayis, Va'al Aviv, Oshar Morishim. Okay, so you have a son, and he dies, the house falls on him. It also falls either on his father, him and his father, or other people who can bequeath to the son. Okay, people who can bequeath to the son. All right. Now, here's another problem. Va'alav. And the son himself, one minute, let me just the son himself, he has another problem. He has some IOUs that he has to pay. Ksuvas isha ubalechov. Either he has a ksuva of a woman who's going to want to collect from him, or there's other creditors who want to collect from him. So now let's think of this now. So you've got inheritors. You've got who's interested in getting money?
The creditors.
So you've got the father. let's say with the father of the son. So Yorsha of Amri, so the inheritors of the father say, Mesa ben Chila, the son died first, and he's penniless. Lohiniach klum, he didn't leave anything for the creditors. Vavarachov, and the debts are finished. Now, why don't they collect from what the father died? Because, no, the son died
no
first. The father then died, goes to the inheritors of the father.
Right.
However, the Balei Chov or something, the creditors say, the father died first. The son now inherits that. The Eishon goes, oh, we're going to collect from him.
Everybody wants it their way.
So now, let's think about it. Who is an inheritor and who is a collector? Well, obviously, the father
would like it
through inheritance,
yes.
While the debtor, the creditors want to collect it through credit and not inheritance. Yeah. So we say, we leave the property in the chazaka of the inheritors, because they are for sure inheritors, regardless if the son died before the father or the father died before the son. Think about it. Either way, they're inheritors. If the son died, he's not left anybody. It goes up through the father and up higher than that. If the father goes up them, so it's the same. They are inheritors no matter how you split it up. Questions get more or less, but they're inheritors. The creditors only get it under one condition, but not under both conditions. So they're out. So what about the woman and the creditors? Can they ever have any recourse? Well, it's going to take a lot of work. The woman and the creditors have to bring proofs that the father died first. Oh, yel cholahem below klum, or they're out of the game.
Whoa.
Halacha tes. Din elu shemesa tachzam pebbles. This halacha that they fell under a thing that fell down.
Avalanche.
Avalanche. Osha tovium, or they drowned in the ocean. Osha nuflesh, or they got burnt to death. Or we don't know if they died on the same day. This one died in this city. Someone somewhere else. It's all the same halacha. All these ideas, it's a similar
it's like
idea. Token. And you ate it, so we don't know who died first, and we would apply the same rules.
Whoa.
Okay. Now, Chapter 6 is a very interesting chapter. We'll just start it off a little bit. Ooh. It's been a question that's been bothering all of us this whole time.
Where's Paul?
Can a person willingly find a way to leave his inheritance to those other than that is halachically prescribed as by the Torah? You know, you've got, the Torah says, your two sons have to inherit you. Well, he doesn't want to leave everything to his two sons. So, what can he do and what can't he do?
Well, he's still alive.
Can he take away from the sons? Can he give to others? This becomes the issue of this chapter, and it's extremely relevant.
We're not talking about gifts. We're talking about after death.
Let's see what we're talking. Listen, what you do before you die is totally nothing to do with this. Father wants to give $50 million to somebody, when he's alive, just go give it. The question is, can you gift it to people other than your relatives upon your death? That's the issue.
Wow.
You can certainly gift things before you die.
You can do whatever you want.
But you die and you're making either a will or something, and you're saying, I am gifting to other people after I die. Is this allowed? And we'll see under certain circumstances. It is. Aleph. Ein adam yachal lahirish l'mi she'ein aroy liyarsho. First rule is you cannot bequeath via the vehicle of inheritance to someone who is not fit to inherit. Okay, you can't do that. You cannot say, I am writing my will that my good friend Charlie is inheriting me just like one of my sons. You can't, because he is not an inheritor.
Right.
A. B. V'lo laker ha-yerushim ha-yarish. You cannot uproot a relative who is supposed to be in line to inherit. You just can't pull him out. FLP, even though you might say, well, why not? Because
my
we have a golden rule. Shazam Mamanu, it's his money. We have a rule about money. You're allowed to make conditions on money. Ready to learn to certain halachas in Jewish law. You could say, listen, the money should be this, but I make a condition. I'm willing to give my money away even for this and not go according to the law in certain areas. You're usually allowed to do what you want with your money. That's principle A. But there's a problem because there's a pasuk that conflicts with this. Because if he should never, when it talks about the laws of inheritance, It says, "V'hoyisol libnei shol." And these laws of inheritance should be for the Jewish people. Lechukas mishpat as a chok mishpat.
Wow.
Okay. And a lomar, what does that mean to say? Shechukazu, that this chok, it's etched in. Lo nishtano, cannot change. Ve'ein ha'tnai mo'ba, and no conditions will help. Bein shetziva, v'hubari, doesn't matter if he made the command when he was healthy. Bein sheshchivmra, doesn't matter if he's on his deathbed, as we'll see shortly. Oh. Deathbed statements are value. We'll see in certain states. Bein alpeh, doesn't matter if it's orally done. Bein b'chsav, written. Ain't a mole, it will not help.
Wow.
So this is the first rule. Rule one is you cannot make a non-inheritor receive via the vehicle of inheritance, and you can't kick out an inheritor who should by just kicking him out. That you can't do. And that's what it's saying. It's a chukas mishpat. You can't change these laws. The inheritance laws are as such. Okay, lefikach, therefore, now we get to some interesting scenarios. Ha'omer, this is the simple one. Ish ploni b'ni b'chori, he says, my son, who I acknowledge is the firstborn,
double portion.
Lo yito pi shnayim, I don't want him to get the double portion. I only want him to get a single portion.
You can't do that.
Ish ploni b'ni, or my son who's not a b'chor, lo yirash im echav, he can't inherit at all with his sons.
He hasn't done it.
Lo Omar Klum, as far as we're concerned, he hasn't said anything. It's like he said nothing.
Right.
Because he is disinheriting those who should inherit. Now, what if he says this? Ish ploni, let this fellow, who's not a relative at all, Yershoni, he will inherit me, but Makam Sheshol Bas, in a place where he has a son, and certainly...
A daughter.
Yeah. And certainly if he has a son. That's what you have to read it that way. Means, I have a daughter who, according to Halacha, she's the one who inherits. So I want Chaim Yankel to inherit and not my daughter. So now you're letting a new guy come in. Can't do that. And all the more so if it was in the place of a son, you couldn't do that. How about this one? Biti Tirasheni. I want my daughter to get a cut of the Yerusha.
Yeah, the son.
But amongst it, where I have a son. Where we already said the Halacha is, when there's a son is sole heir. I want my daughter to be one of the heirs. An heiress? No.
He hasn't done anything.
Lo Omar Klum, he hasn't said anything. V'chein kol kayetz, anything similar to that, if he says that someone should not inherit at all, whatever, cannot be. Now here is a subtle change here. This is going to be allowed. So what's basically being said is you can't cut an heir out of the will. But what if you want to... Let's say you want to modify what they get. That already, because the Torah is saying you have to keep the law of inheritance as it is, which means to say the inheritors have to be inheritors. But what if he just wants to fudge? Now, I'm not kicking anybody out of being an heir, but I'm just giving a little more to one. Now, you cannot play around with the Bechor. That's unquestionable. The Bechor, double portion, forget it. Nothing you can do. But once you've made the Bechor happy, or if there is no Bechor, now you want to say, well, you know, I don't want to say every son to get exactly the same amount.
Woo.
But what if he had a lot of inheritors? Kigon, for example, Bonim Rabi, many sons. And we'll add right now. And there is no Bechor. That could be scenarios like that. O Achim, O Bonis. Or just brothers, so there's no Bechor there. Or just daughters, where there's no Bechor there. V'omer, and he's now, here's the conditions. You have to have two conditions in order to do this now. Number one, V'omer kishahu shchiv mera. He has to say it when he is on his deathbed. A. And B. And also, they're all the same level of inheritors. They were all sons without a bechor. All brothers, all daughters. So nobody is really supposed to get a bechor portion.
Nobody has the upper hand.
So everyone's got to be equal inheritors completely. And he does this on his deathbed. And now he says, Ploni ochi yersheni bichlau achai. I want my so-and-so brother, and where it's only brothers who are inheriting, he should be the only one from my brothers to inherit. Obiti plonis tirishani michlau benosai. I want my specific daughter to inherit from all my daughters. He doesn't have any sons. That's, I believe, how he's saying
it. Yeah, Bunin.
Right? Yeah. So, his words stay.
Right.
Doesn't matter if it's written or orally. Do you have your English commentator say the way I said it, Sam?
Yeah.
So in other words, he's not kicking out the others per se. He's just saying, I want this one to be the exclusive.
Well, isn't that sort of doing the same thing?
Well,
kicking them out because they're not getting anything. What does that mean?
Let's look at the next thing.
They're being excluded.
One second. Let's look at how it's changed to the next one. See, the question is, what's the next one saying? Avalim Omar. But look at the wording. He says, I want my daughter to inherit from amongst my daughters. He never said, I'm excluding. It's interesting. Avalim Omar. What if he says, Ploni Bini Yerasheni Livado? What if he says very specifically, I want my son only to inherit? Now, this is by a son, okay? And to knock out the others. Imam al-Pev, he says it verbally, Dvar of Kayom, the words last.
When
Kasav kol nechasav libno, but if he writes it, if he writes, all my assets go to my son, lo aso el apotropos. We assume he only made him an apotropos.
Yeah.
As a executor, Kamosha Briyana already explained in earlier halachas. So it comes out clearly what he's saying is there's a difference between a son and others, and only when the son, it's done bal peh. It's when you say the son is exclusive, and you say it verbally, then he gets it all. When you write it down, he doesn't. It's interesting, the Rif brings this down halacha from the Gemara, and he says, Hilcha sabali, time it's halacha, which I don't understand at all, and we're just going to have to rely on the Gemara. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is, if you say he's the exclusive inheritor, it's not like I kicked the others out, I'm just making him the exclusive inheritor. Generally, you can't do it, but you have to have both conditions, where there's nobody better than the other in terms of inheritance, when only on his deathbed. Then he can make
and
such
only
a,
verbally. And
no,
only verbally.
For other relatives,
okay.
Brothers and whatever, and daughters, he can do that straight away. When they're sons, only when he says it verbally and not when he writes it down. That is the halacha.
And he has to be alive. He can't do
I say he's on his deathbed.
Can he do it?
Well, if he writes it, he wrote it when he's alive and then he dies. It doesn't matter.
But then he's an epitropos.
No, for the other relatives.
Okay.
So all of us don't know he's alive. You can't do anything when you're dead.
The dead people.
When he's dead, he couldn't say anything. He couldn't write anything.
So he can't write it. The proper case, the first one, he has to wait till he's dying to write it. He can't write it a year before.
Yes, that's right. Correct. That's
what's the
correct.
Source for
There's
that?
There's a specific halach about a shkiv marah. There's something about a shkiv marah that we want him to die peacefully.
So grab the pen.
What?
Exactly. Grab the pen.
Make sure he can say it.
Yeah, so Dad.
So it comes out he can't say that you children don't inherit.
I know, but
right? Because what were the cases where it was not allowed? Where he says my son will not inherit with his brothers. He didn't say that. He just said I want him to be the exclusive inheritor.
And do we have anything like sound mind? The guy he was dying. We can't really think what he was saying was.
Well,
was
we'll have to wait and see.
Wow,
that could be something. We'll have to wait and see.
The story continues.
He wasn't of sound mind. He's already.